all about the best of life in Harrogate. This is the Your Harrogate Podcast.
Hello, my name is Pete Edgerton and welcome to, yes, you've guessed it, another Your Harrogate Podcast. I really appreciate you listening to these. On our website, yourharrogate.co.uk, whilst you're floating around that area, click vouchers because you can save. What is better than getting things half price? But not only that, as I record this, it's the 24th of November, and up until the end of play on the 26th of November, Sunday night, we have got a select few vouchers in a Black Friday weekend sale, which means you get an extra 20% off the already half price, and you don't even need a code. It's all added at checkout. So have a look and start saving at yourharrogate.co.uk. Now, on the way, we're going to be hearing from Harrogate Town Manager Simon Weaver ahead of a League Two away trip, a long trip south to Crawley Town this weekend. But first of all, to matters of the under 10 girls at Pannell Ash. And one of their coaches is Matt Wills. Your Harrogate. Matt, great to catch up with you. First of all, your day job is very demanding when it comes to hours. Just explain.
Yeah, so the day job, I'm a milkman in Harrogate, local area. So I cover sort of Harrogate and Lower Nidderdale. So I tend to leave on an evening around about 9 p.m. And then I tend to get home at about 9 a.m. most mornings, sometimes a little bit later, depending on the day. While the weather's cold, it's all right. As we get closer to the summer months, it becomes more difficult. You have to work a bit harder to make sure you get around quickly enough. If I'm not running, there's normally a problem. So, take a bit of time.
And how long have you done that for, Matt?
So my family have been milkmen for about 100 years.
Oh, wow.
My great-grandparents are the Fairworth milkmen. I've actually got a couple of customers that have been getting milk delivered from my family for near on 80 years.
That's amazing.
I've had like my great-grandparents, my grandparents, my dad, and then me. So my dad's still a milkman in Knaresborough, and I do in Harrogate. So I actually started in lockdown, branched out to my own round then. Prior to that, I just, you know, had a few odd jobs and things like that, and lockdown came. I needed to earn a little bit of money, you know, as I suppose lots of people did, and there was an opportunity with a milkman that was retiring who just had a small round that was, you know, manageable to do before work for an hour and a half, and just enjoyed it, you know, fresh air, get your legs moving, your heart's beating, and I've done it on my own now for about 4 years.
No problem with keeping your steps up then, it's all good. And if people would like to find out more, Will's Milk are the ones to look out for. You're all over social media, aren't you, and website?
Yeah, I've got a really good website. You'll hear me on the radio adverts as well.
Now, as much as we like talking about all the hard work that you guys put in with the business, there's another good reason as to why we've got you on this podcast, because is it through your daughter that you got involved in Pannell Ash?
Yeah, so my daughter decided she wanted to start playing football a couple of years ago now, back when she would have been playing for the under-8s team, and there was a few teams about, but Pannell Ash really stuck out to us. You know, there was a great coach in Gina. She was fantastic with them at a young age. A female coach, which was something that was quite important to me at the time, because I felt like at the time the girls' game was growing so much, and I think when you are young, having a female coach to look up to, I think, is fantastic. You know, she's then been able, I think she's done it for a number of years as Gina, and she's always then passed the groups on to, you know, other volunteers that are able to then take it forward from there, really, and continue to develop the girls' skills and friendships and things like that.
So with regards to you getting involved in the training, was that entirely your idea? Were you cajoled into it a little bit by your daughter, or...?
No. I don't think she really wanted me to do it.
Go away, Dad.
I've played football for a lot of years and I really enjoyed it. And I think I'd have been 19. I had to stop playing because of work commitments and things like that on a weekend. And I've always missed it. And then when I started back with the milk round, I was able to start playing again on a Saturday afternoon. And as you get older, you know, your bones start to hurt a bit more and it aches, and I didn't want to let go because I had nothing to fall back on, as fast as that sounds. But training with the girls on a Saturday morning or on a Tuesday evening with them is the highlight of my week now. It keeps you within that teamwork and that camaraderie that you have when you've played football for so long. a lot of players that have played the game will say that that's the thing they miss the most, is seeing the teammates, seeing the putting the feet on the grass and, you know, just playing the game that they love. For me now, I've been able to sort of reciprocate that by helping the girls develop, watching them enjoy the game so much and seeing how much they enjoy it makes me happy. And that's been a much easier way for me to sort of step away from my own football by focusing so much time, effort into the girls.
And I would imagine that their enthusiasm, it's infectious, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They're always so happy to see each other on a morning or on an evening. You know, whenever we've got a training session, whether we've got a game, when we've got a gym session in one of the local gyms, that we do a few bits down there. You know, we train on a Tuesday night, we train on a Saturday morning, numerous tournaments throughout the summer. I think the parents will tell you that maybe I'm a little too keen at times. I think it was June, we had a tournament every weekend, and we went all over the country. We were in Leicester, we were in Sunderland, we went down to Lillishall, which is the home of or the former home of English football, and played a tournament there as well. So, you know, we really did get around throughout the summer months. And when I was a kid, I just enjoyed the tournaments so much. You know, the full days of it, there's thousands of girls at these events that, you know, it's great to see. And when I was younger, there wasn't these events for girls, they were only for the boys. And the fact that there is that appetite now and that desire from the girls, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
This is the Your Harrogate podcast.
And how do you go on a personal level, Matt, juggling with obviously the unsociable hours that you pull as a milkman, and then doing training, say, on a Tuesday night and getting up again Saturday morning?
Yeah, so, it can be hard. You know, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You spend a lot of time and effort thinking of training drills, you know, what to do in training. It's not a case of you just turn up and the goals are set up, and, you know, it's not a professional club where you turn up, everything's ready, set out for you to just do a drill. You've got to think about the drill beforehand. You've got to plan, you know, think about what's gone well from the week before, what hasn't gone well from the week before. You know, I spend a lot of time, a lot of hours, obviously in the van, thinking about these things, you know, on a night. It makes my work go quicker because I'm able to then focus on other things as well. It's not as straightforward as what many people think. I think a lot of people feel that if you're just coaching a team, whether it's boys' team or a girls' team, you just, you know, your fixtures are all laid out for you. You just literally ring the other coach and that's it. You both turn up at the same place, you play a game of football and you go home, and you're only taking that hour that you might be training for. But really, you've spent 5, 6, 10, 15 hours a week. You know, if you have to organise things, or you try and find a friendly because you haven't got a game, so you think, well, do you know what, we don't want to lose that match focus, and playing the games against other girls that you don't know is brilliant. You know, you test yourself against all these other girls up and down the country. You know, the travel, you know, I've got some great parents that will travel wherever I need them to travel to, so it's a really proud thing to be able to do, and to focus a lot of time and effort into as well.
You've hit the nail on the head there for me, because in the short period of time that I've been doing these podcasts and speaking to people like yourself who are involved with various local clubs across the Harrogate area, there is so much effort that goes into making them tick, whether it be coaches like yourself and obviously a parent, and like you say, other parents mucking in. It really is a big collective. And then on top of that, you rely on a lot of businesses, don't you, across the Harrogate area who come in with sponsorship?
Yeah, of course. You know, any charity, and Panache is a charity first and foremost, you know, relies on donations from the public, whether it's, you know, individuals or businesses themselves. And there are a lot of businesses have pots of money set aside where they can help, you know, local charities and things like that. And of course, it's sort of the heartbeat of the community as a football club. You know, it helps so many, you know, young boys and girls keep off street corners, for argument's sake. It keeps them out of trouble. You know, training might only be an hour, but if you've got a game on a Saturday, for instance, and you know that that child's going to be then looked after for maybe 3 or 4 hours, if you're a parent that, you know, I've got girls myself that struggle to get to places, and I'll go and pick them up and I'll look after them for the morning and I'll take them home. And, well, that's so much better than that young person being left at home or having to try and find childcare as a parent or as a guardian, it's going to cost you even more money to find that, when actually they can be outside, they can be having a bit of fun with their friends and sort of stretching their legs and things like that. It's really, really vital. So the support from local businesses, supply the kits. First and foremost, you know, everyone wears the same kit. We all have a sponsor throughout your age groups. Training kit as well, you know, the training equipment, the goals, you know, these things damaged over time, you know, continuous use, of course, they do need replacing on a frequent basis. So there's always somewhere that a business can, or an individual can support, you know, any charity, but especially one that does so much for so many kids, you know, in the local area.
And with regards to the league that you're playing in at the moment and the next game, where are you at?
We're quite fortunate. We're a very good side, in all honesty, for our age group in the area. So we're lucky now to be able to have two teams. We have one team that plays under 10 football in the Harrogate District League. It's a non-competitive league because of the age of the kids at the moment. But so far we're doing really well. You know, we win more than we lose. It takes time, you know, these girls that are playing football at their own age level and are very competitive. Winning's not all that matters, you know, it's the big development of their skills. And the reason why we've sort of split up to two teams this season is because we had a group of girls that were a little bit more advanced, and we had another group of girls that would maybe rely on those girls a little bit more. So to give those girls that maybe relied on the stronger girls a bit more responsibility, we've split the teams up so that those girls can sort of take a bit more of a leading role than maybe they would do if they've got one girl that they know can go past three or four people. Naturally, they'd always try and pass to them. But instead of that now, they have to find their own way of making it work. You know, they'll find a pass or they'll dribble past them themselves and really believe in themselves a bit more, in all honesty. Second group actually play a year up, so they play under 11 football in the Harrogate District League as well. So although they're only 9 and 10 years old, so in school year 5, they'll actually play girls that are all in school year 6. And again, so far we've won, well, pretty much every single game so far this season as well. And a lot of them have been quite convincing. So my girls have worked so hard, you know, a lot of them train 3-4 times a week. They just enjoy the game, they love the game so much that we felt that they needed to be rewarded and be tested, in all honesty. And by going into that older age group, it tests them physically against girls that are bigger and stronger than them. But also technically, it means that we have to play a little bit different, where you can't just dribble past somebody. You have to find a pass, or you have to, you know, make sure you're making the right runs and working harder, be fitter, be stronger, be faster than the opposition.
Boosting their confidence and introducing discipline, and it's all good stuff. Now, with regards to people listening and maybe getting involved, is there anything that you need at this moment in time as a club, as a team?
Yeah, so we've actually got a trip planned next season. So again, on the back of how well all the girls have done, you know, over the last couple of years with myself and Joel and Will, who are the other coaches, we have arranged to take as many of the girls as possible, or as many that are available, over to a tournament in France in April 2024. Now, obviously, not everybody can afford a weekend over to France. So that's what we're sort of raising money for now. Got a Just Giving page where we're looking to raise as much money as possible to be able to at least have the offer for every single child to be able to attend that if they are able to. And obviously any money that's left over from that would then go towards new training equipment, you know, a new kit for the girls as well.
Brilliant. So if people want to get to that Just Giving page, Matt, is it simply Panlash juniors that they need to look out for, or Panlash girls?
It's Panlash girls under 10s is a Just Giving page, and you can find that fairly easily as well.
Big thank you to Matt for taking time out to speak to me for the purpose of this podcast. Also, good luck to other local sides this weekend. The ladies on Sunday, Ripon City ladies, are at Altofts. Boroughbridge ladies playing Bradford City under 21s. Knaresborough Town women off to Atletico FC. Harrogate Railway ladies are up against Skipton, and Harrogate Town ladies are in Sunderland. Meanwhile, on Saturday the 25th of November, Harrogate Railway are off to Nostell Mine as well welfare. Knaresborough Town going to Pickering and Harrogate Town are back in League Two action at Crawley Town. Here comes their media assistant, Nicholas McInally, asking gaffer Simon Weaver about the 1-1 draw last weekend against Swindon.
Yeah, really pleased. I thought it was a really energetic showing from the players, and they came in good spirits as a result of that on Monday and taking it into the training sessions. So, yeah, I thought all individuals turned up and took part in a really passionate display in front of the home fans, so it was really uplifting.
A tough place to go as well, Crawley. It'll be a long journey, so how do you prepare for that one?
Same as always, just try to be lively in training and set the tone, so it's quite habitual really, and it's in the psyche of every player, you know, what we need to bring to the table each day. So, you know, we know it's going to be a hard game. I think start the season well, Crawley, and score goals, very expansive, very fluid way of playing, stay well coached, so tricky opponents.
And obviously, you know, you speak about getting on and running and building on what we've achieved so far this season. Does the fact we're playing away from home in this game help? You know how well we have played away from home this season, playing well at home now in the last game. It's again a chance to build, and we have shown we can do it.
I'd like to think it gives us another layer of confidence in what we've got here moving forwards. But away from home, you know, we're proud of recent displays and record, and we have to keep building on it, tally-wise, to keep building momentum. So there's every incentive to do well and keep that forward momentum ongoing. And, you know, it's a game that we're definitely looking forward to, but obviously we can't take it lightly because of the difficulty of the opposition.
You made a few changes in the last couple of weeks, like Sir Jack Muldoon and that coming in. He gets his goal on Saturday. A lot of food for thought in terms of your team selection for that one.
Yes, absolutely, and hopefully a couple of the injured come back into the fray as well, so looking forward to that. But just about to walk out and watch training now, so we'll see how they fare. Want it very competitive. We don't want to be too predictable, but there has to be a consistency of message too, so everybody knows their roles.
Josh Volcombe had to settle for a place on the bench on Saturday there. How difficult was a decision that for you? Because, you know, he brings so much, but bringing somebody like Stephen Dooley and Dean Cornelius, two players that really complement each other quite well.
It's never an easy decision not to include a skipper because he's a talisman of the team. But there's a lot of games, you know, this season, and we've got to look after individuals and learn from previous seasons, probably where we've overexerted a certain few and we've ended up breaking down as a result of that with three injuries, and then you're weaker as a squad. And we don't want that, and we don't want that for Folks or other big players. So I thought Dool stepped into the breach perfectly well indeed on Saturday, and so did Dino, and as a partnership they grew in confidence.
And obviously speaking about getting injured players back, one player that won't be back is Toby Sims just yet. Just sum up your thoughts for him, because, you know, it was such a good campaign for him last season. To have this injury now, how's he doing?
Yeah, well, we'll continue talking. He still wants to be a part of it when he can, you know, when we have team meetings, but it's difficult for a player that's not probably had that kind of type of injury before, where he's out for any length of time, and we're hoping he's back sooner rather than later, obviously, because he's a really good player for us and a good character. But you know, it is difficult as a pro, but all the same, you know, it's what most players go through, and we think he's equipped to deal with it.
Finally, away from our game on Saturday, the youth team have been drawing against Brighton at home in the FA Youth Cup. You must be pleased for them to have that experience, and especially at home, at the environment as well.
Yeah, it should be a good occasion. We're all looking forward to watching that. Difficult opposition for them, but the one that they'll be up for, and it's an exciting tie, isn't it?